When you've got to get up here and speak. So I'm going to basically read what I've written. Where's Joey? Where's Joey? Okay. Dave, you can share this word with Joey because I've got something in my notes that I thought I was very clever, and it went from Job to joy. But when I see Joey standing here, it's from Joey to joy. I do share that with her. Yeah. Okay, so Mark's asked me to share my experience in talking with God. So it's just an experience, but sometimes I don't really trust experience. So I'm going to rather nudge it towards my experience of reading the Word of God and trusting His Word. Okay, I liked what Steph, when she came up here last week, she said, hey, it's not all me who brought this teaching. She's had a lot of teachers in her life, and definitely so have I. So here we go. In the beginning was the Word. That Word became flesh. That was Jesus. So that word, Jesus, in the flesh, revealed the truth, grace and truth, speaking with words. Jesus' words were written down using words. By reading, we now read those words that were written down into words, that we can know that those words are the words spoken by the Word after He became flesh, etc. So it's a big circle. So we can really trust. The only way to talk to God is with words. Okay, we can't talk to Him in any other way. And so even when we're talking in tongues, Paul's saying, well, someone has to interpret the tongues. And it's going to end up, we talk to God, we talk to each other with words. It's not a super way out thing. It's a natural talking with God. Whether we believe the words or not, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. But whether we believe them or not doesn't make the word in the Bible, doesn't make that not actually the Word of God. Believing is a work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, can we get the verse up there, Alistair? Okay. I think for me, this is the thing that always stands out. It's those first four words. So we're reading the Bible now. So cover our heads in our minds. Let's cover our heads, because that is above what our opinions and what we personally believe. We've got to get to grips with what the Word says. So take the imaginary pencil, and you can... I just underline those, it is God. And then you can write, can make a circle around, it is God. And you can take a big square and put it around those words. Let's say those three words together now. It is God. It is me. No. It is God. That should cause the fear and trembling, which comes, there's a little bit that's cut off here. There should be, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. When I read the word, it is God, whew, that's the fear and trembling. But I want to tell you, there's joy in that. For the believer, there is joy in that. And isn't it amazing, he says, for His good pleasure. So it is God doing what? He is at work. It's not us. It is God who is at work in you. What's He doing? He's willing and working. Not for us. There's something much for his good pleasure. What does the pleasure, what does the joy of God look like? Ask yourself that question. If our joy is this high, How high is God's joy? So, just to be sure, I'm not an authority on joy at all. I mean, I feel joy, but neither is the most joyous person on earth. And compared to so many of us in this church, I'm definitely not an authority on suffering. I really haven't suffered much in my life compared to so many of you. And neither are the ones who are suffering. You're not the authority on this is what it means to suffer. It's the word of God. I see Cynthia nodding there. Boy, does she know that. When I hear you standing up here, there's a reverence for the word of God. God, through his word, is the authority on both the joy and the suffering. So that's always my reference. Right. But what I do know is joy in the Lord, it is a burden joy. Because we've just sung a song that says all tears will be wiped away. All the heartbreak, that's going to go. But not now. We're going to have to get through it. But it's not crippled. It is burdened with tears of pleading for the suffering of ourselves and definitely others, and for the lost of this world. When the groom returns, then our joy is going to be complete. It won't be burdened then, but for every tear will be wiped away. Here's Philippians 3:18, Paul says, he has this joy in the Lord, but he also says, for many of whom I have often told you, but now I tell you, even with tears, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. So there is a heartbroken joy, but it is joy, but it is a deep joy. It is a serious joy. So the tone of our joy, of the joy in the Lord, it's probably not singing the YMCA anthem. It just can't be. But hopefully it's not Eeyore as well. It's not, well, my life's just so hard, but don't worry, I've got joy in the... It's just not that, okay? It should be beautiful. Joy in the Lord is as deep as the Spirit himself, because it all stems from him. That's really deep. That's serious stuff, this joy. This joy thing, it's not optional. We need it. So just to quickly restate a few things that Mark was telling us from Philippians, you need to die to yourself. That's a work of the Spirit. You need to live in him, not with him. Not with him. You need to live in him. That's deeper than a man and a wife, right? That is a relationship with God. We're not living next door to God or within sight of him. We've got to disappear into God. Okay. So I have a particular bent, I suppose you could call it, and that's to the sovereignty of God. This is when my joy went through the roof. So I believe, and I believe I find this in the word, that you cannot have joy in him if you don't have confidence in him. Any God with a small g who claims to be worthy of our worship must actually be worthy. We need to know how worthy he is. And our God most definitely is worthy. So the problem is, though, I went through many years as a Christian, acting as actually as if I was the worthy one. Yeah, God was the sun, but I was the moon. You know, that was actually, God was an add-on. He benefited me. How can I put this? But I should have God. I'm actually worthy of God. That was a snare. I've tripped over that many times. So compared to the sun, I'm like, what's the smallest thing ever invisible? It's like a tiny atom or a cell or something like that. God is great. God is great. Reading the whole of Elihu's pages and pages out of the Bible. I just read it. I don't know how well it landed. Sorry, I don't know how well that reading and pages out of the Bible. I love it. I love reading the Bible. Don't talk to me. Let's just read the Bible. So I'm not going to do that now. But until I read Job and God's answer to Job, until I came to the revelation, a real home truth. Yeah, Steve. Here's a few things, right? Through the word, you're going to learn this through the word, that God is infinitely, infinitely competent, wise, creative, powerful, merciful, just, righteous, loving, deadly, terrifying, holds life and death in his hands, only has to say a word of his power to bring about anything that he wills, and is constantly involved in every aspect, not only of the birds in the air and holding up the stars, but of you, of me, the little speck, the tiniest speck. God himself is constantly involved in every aspect, not only of his creation, but of me as an individual. For me, this is my experience, until I realized that my joy was not really in himself. It really wasn't. It was in his grace and in his gifts. But let him take away that grace and those gifts. Let's not talk about the grace. Let's talk about the gifts. Then when Jesus said to the rich man, just give away everything and follow me. So there's always this test that I have in my experience in talking with God. There's sometimes God says, okay, if you lost everything, am I still enough? Am I really still enough? So until I went on what I call Job's safari tour with God, God takes him on this incredible tour through his creation. But he starts off with saying, Steve, Job, who is it who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Who's knocking at my door here? Who's wanting to say that they're the moon and I'm the sun? Come, Steve, dress for action. You dress for action like a man. I'll be God. And I will question you, and you make it known to me as if I don't know something. You try and make it known to me. Where were you, Steve? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding, O man. From the stars to the earth, to every creature, great and small, down to the cells and the atoms, to put in thoughts and understanding in our minds. Who has put wisdom? Steve, who put wisdom in the inward parts? This is from Job 38, 36. And given understanding to the mind. Can you do that? So God asks 100, what I call 101 rhetorical questions. Job can't even say, no, I can't do that. They're completely rhetorical. Can you do this? Did you do that? Do you pour water on lands that no one even lives in? Well, I water those lands. I'm involved. I do it. I just have to speak it. So, Steve, there's a difference between you and me. Oh, I love this because this convicts me. Job 40, verse 2. Shall a fault finder, you, contend with the Almighty? Okay, Steve, you want to contend with me? He who argues with God, let him answer it. Yes, we're welcome to argue with God, but he's going to win every time. He's going to win the argument every time. And thank you, Lord, that you did not let me think that I was going to win an argument with you until I understood all of that difference between who God is and who we are, until I understood that also that he's not doing it for my glory. He does all things for his glory. Isaiah says he's not going to share it with another. Sometimes I'm up here and I can feel myself because some weird stuff goes on up here, and I feel myself like, oh, nice, doing this. And God says, are you trying to pinch my eternal glory? Well, that's pathetic. I'm eternal, and you, this little mouse trying to steal, you think you're going to get something. No, Steve, stop it. Yes, Lord. He made a people for his glory. He didn't choose them to say, now I'm going to make you this, you know, you're going to just be glorified. No, I'm going to show something through you. Colossians says, all things were created through him and for him. It is God. So, it's beautiful. I just love it in Job when Job puts his hand over his mouth. In all situations, until I understand that in all situations, from the very best, we went to the most incredible Holy Spirit-filled wedding yesterday. It was beautiful. And to the very worst evil being played out, the living God says, before I want to go to him and say, yeah, he says, put your hand over your mouth before you say one word to me. And he just says, I am. Whew. That is fear and trembling, man. And God just says, I am. Put your hand over your mouth. Quiet. I am. And that was the first time I've worshipped God until I understood this. Whew. Trembling. For the first time, I felt that deepest ever worship welling up, and all I could say was actually, you are God. We sing that song, you are God alone. You are God. It is God. God says to Moses, you want to know who I am? I am. I am. It is God. I kind of like saying the same thing. Yeah, and from that day, really, everything became yes and amen to the Lord, because that's God in his fullness. It's the stuff you actually don't like. We got to get to a point where we are prepared to say, we're not the moon. You may be the sun, but we sure as heck are not the moon. We're not the moon. So, and that yes and amen, it's not a flippant thing. It's not hearing a terrible tragedy. We've had tragedy, heartbreak in the church. I mean, really terrible stuff. Mark had to do a funeral here. It was excruciating. So it's not a flippant, oh, yes and amen, Lord. It's brokenhearted. It's brokenhearted. And it's yes. You are God. Now, you might think that all of that, if we could just get to that point, the absolute thrill of seeing, wow, you are God. That would be enough for us to find our joy in him. But now you've got to add to all that the work of his salvation in us. I mean, he hasn't even got up to his salvation. He's just saying, I am. But now, I mean, is that good enough? No, now I'm going to show you something else. The not insignificant fact of his salvation, that he is going to actually redeem us. He's not, I am, and like that. He's going to show his glory, actually, through our salvation. He's going to be the one to do it. That redemption is going to come with huge suffering, a sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. God could have come up with another way, maybe. But he knows that redemption. We add to all of that, God's going to do it. He's going to declare that it must happen. And he's going to be the one to climb on the cross. For I heard the prayer at the wedding yesterday where the lady referred to all of us, all of the saints, as a ragged and wretched people. That's us. We ragged, man. So this is my experience. When I hear the great I am, but then my salvation through Christ on the cross, they are such opposite things. I can't be ambivalent about God anymore. I can't turn him off. I can't turn him off anymore because he is. You know that fear and trembling, so there I put you. There is joy in the fear and trembling, for it is God. Because if it wasn't God, well, I don't think we'd be very happy. If it was Satan, no one's going to find joy there. For his good pleasure. So until I understood all that, I can honestly say joy in the Lord, it was conditional, material, and false. He was an add-on. But to get to that point, and I just thank the Lord. And I found that through reading the word. Not fragments of it. Not one verse and a little commentary every day on WhatsApp. I really, really, we have to read the word of God. Remember, the word, he's called the word. He became flesh. He spoke the words. Now they're written. So let's read them. What a privilege it is to be able to read. So, and also not fall into this trap, which is we love the gifts somehow more than the giver. Remember, we don't deserve anything. Someone, you know, on WhatsApp status, sometimes I read through there, and I have some pretty super spiritual clients, and they say, you deserve peace. And I mean, I honestly just burst out laughing. Are you mad? You don't deserve anything. I know this might be a bit of a downer for some of you, but you don't deserve it. It's by grace, and that should thrill you. That should make you sing the YMCA song. Really? I'll tell you an experience I had. We bought a new car some years ago. Now, we had always driven 20-year-old cars. But I got to a stage where I earned more income, and then we could afford this. Well, to me, it was new. And when I drove that car away, I just felt this horrible. I'm sorry to sound like a downer, but it was a horrible yuckiness that just fell on me because I felt this a bit of status, you know, because I've always wanted to drive a new car. Because when you arrive at a client's house, you want to look good, right? And I had got used to living with joy in the Lord in my old Toyota Corolla. So and I had to trust the Lord for that car. But now I'm driving in my nice new Fiat. You know, it looks like a new car, right? But I just felt it. Really, it was a presence of it's going to happen right now. And honestly, I said to God, I'll turn this car back right now. because I can feel my joy from you leaving. And God said, no, don't worry. Remember Paul said, I've learned to live with plenty. I've learned to live with less, and you're going to learn now. But isn't it, you know, to know that where the line is and to trust God that he's going to do it. Remember, it is God who wills and works. He's the one doing it. It wasn't me who came up with I'm high and mighty and I had this evil feeling. No, I think it was God, it was conviction of the Holy Spirit working in me and willing and saying, Lord, it's either this car or the joy in you. So when Paul was living in plenty, he might have had a challenge. Oh, it's such nice not to be beaten and you know, flayed and all this. It's just nice to have a break. But his joy was in the Lord because he had learned to live with both. How's this one? Count it all joys. So even when you're suffering, that's really, really hard. And it's something we shouldn't say flippantly, but it is in the Bible. But there's another one when it talks about, I count all the other things as loss. I mean, actual negative loss. Like there's a line here, and Jesus is on this side. And getting a new car, it doesn't compare on the side of Jesus. It's almost like a negative loss. Don't start counting it on the other side. Count it all compared to knowing God, to knowing him. That's a relationship. Okay, here's something. This is actually what Mark wanted me to talk on, but I needed to put perspective on this. So here's my experience at the sound of his voice or the tone of his voice. I've always been a bit of a chatty patty. Now, who's a teacher here? Any teachers? Come on, there, Candace. You know that the child who comes with their violin, but they don't actually really want to play the violin. They just want to sometimes chat. You get that kind of kid? Chat, chat, chat. Oh, it's lovely. So I've been a real chatty patty with my Father in heaven. But again, I'm going to go back. I hear God so much better since reading his word, since, if not diligently, passionately. Wow, here we go, opening the word of God. I feel I know him so much more intimately. The tone of his voice is actually often a lot of you guys, it's the tone of your voice, when you are speaking the truths in alignment with scripture. If you come up to me with some really cynical thing, probably I'm not going to be thinking that that's God. He just doesn't have the sound of God's voice. God doesn't need to be cynical about anything. He doesn't need to believe in anything. So I love this, the constant companionship of God. There is so much joy in that. It's not just saying, yes, there's a place for saying a prayer at bedtime. I mean, I'm often, before I go to sleep, I love you, Lord, and put my head down, and hopefully I'll get some sleep. He is never too busy or too proud to hear you. I know some of you have had really lousy dads, maybe lousy moms as well. My dad wasn't too bad. He was actually pretty awesome. So I remember hearing this description once, like, so your dad was only this good from here to here. My dad was like this good. Wow, it's like it's twice as good as you. Well, God, the Father, we have to understand this, is eternally better than the best of the best dads. Never too proud to hear you. God is always in the room. Like that's which is our minds, obviously. I mean, so when we talk to God during the day, probably we're not talking out loud, especially when you're at work. So remember, God doesn't leave the room. You can't say stuff without God hearing. And I had this picture in my mind of God as the Father sitting down, reading his newspaper in the lounge, and I'm like a kid playing on the floor with my Lego, whatever. And then he can hear everything that I'm saying. So, and he's monitoring. He's monitoring everything that comes through my mind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you can take it. Actually, like God, it is God who wills and works. Take those thoughts captive. Because if it isn't from him, he is going to say something about it. He's going to put his newspaper down and say, what? Where did you hear that from? You know, he's going to talk to us. God is life itself in us. Thanks, bro. Yeah, you can take joy in the rebuke of the Lord. You can take joy even in the rebuke of the Lord. That is what a very present father would do to a son that he loves, who the Lord loves, who the Lord loves, he disciplines. Yeah, it might not be so great right there and then, but the next day, as we carry on walking with God, men, we can take rebuke from the Lord with joy and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for setting me right. Look at David. You know, David, when he was running from his son, I'm not sure if I'm 100% right here. He was running from his son with his sort of his band. He was always running from Saul, then he was king, then his son overthrew him, and he was running. And some guys across the river, they basically said, David, you scumbag, you worthless. And the guys, David's guys said, come, we go over there, we kill those guys. They don't say that to the king. And David said, after David's life, he just said, they're actually right. Don't go over there. Maybe the Lord's right. Maybe he's telling me something. And I wonder what would have happened if David, in his pride, had said, they don't talk to me like that. Go and kill them because I'm something. No, David knew what it was like to be contrite before the Lord. And what does the Lord say? I'm not ever going to turn a contrite sinner away. I'm never going to do it. David knew that. So if I'm talking to the Lord, it's generally thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Everything from salvation to literally finding my car keys when I've lost them. I love you. I love you. I'm sorry. Keep me. Keep them. Help me. Help them. Have you ever been driving and you drive through a whole series of robots on the main road and suddenly you're like, was that a red robot? Have I just been driving through, were those robots green or orange? I don't know if you've ever had that experience. It's like you're a zombie and you're just like, sometimes I feel like that when I think like, hang on. Who's been speaking to me for the past 2 days? Where's God's voice gone? Who's been filling my head? Some of it, speaking with God, in my experience, is like when you confess his word, not word for word, not Bible reciting, verse reciting, but you're confessing a truth to yourself, but actually to God as well. You're like showing your learning without really being aware of it. I think God loves that. It's like when a parent, daughter's name is Bella. She's a big girl now, but when she was very little, she had a lovely friend called Saskia. And they came to play at our house. Saskia came to play at our house. Bella wanted to play with the dolls, I think it was. And Saskia wanted to play shop. And so they're at our house. But Bella said, no, I want to play with the dolls. Well, she wanted to do her thing. And eventually Saskia comes up. She says, but I'm the guest, Bella. Now, who do you think told Saskia, I'm the guest, Bella? So, you know, an adult version. I don't know what now. Well, how does that really play out? But you could just hear, yeah. That's the parents teaching the child, but they're almost saying it as if it's their thing. Like they haven't been taught that. This is their wisdom. Yeah, yeah. So sometimes in the shops, I see a beautiful car. I want to buy a nice saw, like a cordless screwdriver or whatever. Or I have a great dream of what I want to do. I know I can't afford it. I know I'm never going to drive a car, and I just say, Lord, actually that car kind of is mine because you're mine, and all things are ours through Christ. Yeah, not now, not now, but actually there's something bigger here. And yeah, I'll just put that back on the shelf. Yeah, that dream, don't worry. If it happens, it will happen. But Lord, what do I want? Do I want the dream and not you? So, and God is, yes, that's right. That's exactly what I said to you in whatever chapter it was. I can't have it now, but I do have Christ now. God is far more present in my work than my boss ever was. And he brings the joy of himself. In my experience, when I'm at work, God sits next to me. When I went back to work at the beginning of the year after a break and I sat down, I tune pianos. So I go into the client's house and I'll sit on the piano bench and I'll start, and I honestly felt the Lord sit down next to me at work and says, here we are back at work. Do everything to the glory of God. Everything. Yeah, God convicts me of sin sometimes. He says, go back, say sorry. Sometimes he asks, what is your salvation worth? Is it worth the anger, the self-righteous anger you've got because a client didn't pay you your tuning fee? What is it worth? Once when we got a field near our house, and I walked the dogs around the field, and I was walking around the field. And just saying, sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for my betrayal of you. And hearing God say, yeah, I'm grieving. I grieve. As you are sorry, I'm grieving. And he will say, okay, so we're your accusers. But he will also say, go and sin no more. And that is intimate. He does grieve. But the difference with God grieving, that doesn't weaken his power. God grieving doesn't throw him off kilter. He isn't shocked. He isn't even surprised when God grieves. He's not going to have counseling because Steve sinned. But he is going to grieve. You know, Jesus weeping for Jerusalem. What does God's joy look like? But what does God's grief feel like? Okay, so sometimes talking to God is also like a child on Christmas Day. And you just run down the room and say, hello, Lord, in your heart. I mean, because it's just such an exciting day and there are gifts for you. Sometimes I see a sparrow. I love sparrows. We called our house the Sparrows. Because when I see a sparrow, I just sometimes say, thank you, Lord. And I say to the sparrow, God feeds you. When you fall, God's going to know. God cares. He knows your comings out and your goings in. I was lying in bed the other night just going off to sleep. Because Mark's leaving now after 10 years. So, yeah, it's not going to be easy. And there actually is serious joy for that. But there's going to be, the first time I came to church at the Scout Hall, there was Mark standing at the front door. And he was like, had his leg against the thing. I guess, and he was standing there. And I walked up. It was sort of the last minute. And he said, hi. And I said, hi, yeah, the Lord's told me I need to come back to church. And he said, why? And I said, well, what are the two main things that cause marriage conflict in the marriage? He said, sex and finances. And I was like, well met, brother. And so that was that wonderful memory that I was having. And I just heard God saying, yeah, that was good. That was good. Sometimes God says, stop, right now, stop. flee from sin, even in your mind. I went through a positive thinking stage long time ago, and I parked my car. I had no money for lunch that day, or food, actually, and I parked in the parking lot of Checkers at Muizenberg, and there was an Absa ATM, and I visualized there was going to be 2,000 Rand in my account. There was going to be 2,000 Rand, right? Climbs the stairs. Going to be 2,000 Rand. It's going to be 2,000 Rand. There's 69 cents. And I heard the Lord just bellow with laughter. He was laughing. I was laughing. He was saying, you fool, you're going to have to now go. Let's go and enjoy the last half sandwich you had left over from yesterday in your locker. Let's go and really enjoy that. Okay? Do you hear the laughter of the Lord is such a blessing? Sometimes God says the real obvious, like when I'm trying to play my recorder and I'm like trying to focus on this really difficult music, but I'm also trying to like include God in it as if, you know, consciously needs to be. And God just says, don't talk to me, play the music. You know, sometimes you just need to get on with the job. Stop talking to me. Sometimes when I'm swimming, I'm doing lots of swimming now, and I'm like trying to pray for people while I'm swimming, and God's saying, don't pray for people, breathe. You need to get on with it. God is always talking. Finally, okay, there's the hot shower and there's the cold shower. I love having both. Hot, 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 hot shower. And you put on those cold, put on the cold. God will never, ever flatter me. I pray he will never satisfy my itching ears, because he can do it. He did it in Isaiah. You can go and read in Romans how he said, right, there you are. Believe what you want to believe. You can even read my word and believe what you want to believe. He will not compromise the truth. He will not compromise the sacrifice of his only son. Remember, the word is the thing that's going to remain, because it's been from the beginning. I mean, in the beginning was the word. And he's going to say, Steve, the groom is coming. The groom is coming. You need a wedding garment, and you need to keep that lamp filled. Yeah, yeah, okay. Steve, the groom is coming. I don't see a wedding garment. That lamp. And he will also say, Steve, it is God who wills and works. That should be really encouraging. Yeah, okay. So if I get my garment, it's kind of like God's going to do it here. But he will also say, this is the cold shower part. And he say, if I come to you, and he say, my friend, I invited you to the wedding. I invited you. But there's no wedding garment. So go and read all the parable. Go and read the whole of that parable. Go and read the whole of the parable of the 10 virgins. Got to keep our wedding garments. And he's honored me, and I love that. I love it. I think that's about it. So I pray. I pray we talk so much with God. Sorry, Peter, I know I've really gone over time here. But we will get to the point. Get to the point where, like an old couple who's been married for years, and actually all they need to say to one another is, I love you. That's all they need to say. And there's another level when you get to the point where you can't not love God. That's really where I pray that all of us can get to that point where we can't not love God. Here we go.